Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Why are you really here, old man?
The official reason? You are a Jewish citizen. If you have broken Jewish law, it sets a dangerous precedent to allow Rome to adjudicate.
And the real reason?
The truth, I am far from home. I am looking in places I would never go because I am searching for an explanation for something I cannot unsee.
No one else knows you're here. Tell me from the beginning.
What have you seen that you can't explain? Where have you seen God at work? And what questions has that raised for you? Today we continue our series called The Chosen. What we're doing is we're looking at this made-for-TV series that was completely crowdfunded, went around the regular Hollywood process to bring us the stories of the Gospels. And it's very early. This is season one of, like, I think they're going to do seven. So it's very early in the ministry that when the final episode ends, there's only seven of the 12 disciples chosen. So we're looking at this. And last week we looked at the character of Mary of Magdala, who you would describe as down and out. She was possessed by seven demons. Her life was tormented. And along comes Jesus and delivers her, changes her life forever. Today, we want to focus on Nicodemus. In that opening scene, we see him talking to John the Baptist, who's in prison, because he is trying to figure out what his eyes have seen, but his own thinking around God just doesn't allow that, so he's wrestling with this. And so we're going to look at Nicodemus today. Now, what they do in The Chosen, you understand, is they'll take a biblical story, and what I love about it is that they're always accurate and true to Scripture, but then they use holy imagination to kind of fill in the missing pieces to give us a full story. And this one is based out of John chapter 3. Nicodemus, if Mary of Magdala was up, down and out, you could say Nicodemus was up and in. Life was going well for him. He was respected. He had a respectable place in society. He was part of the in crowd. He had it all. A lifetime of accomplishment. Well, he had it all, but he didn't have Jesus. And now he has seen Jesus transform Mary's life, something he couldn't do when he tried to cast those demons out of her. And now he has just witnessed what can only be described as an incredible miracle. A paralytic gets up and walks because Jesus said, rise and walk. His fellow Pharisees were not convinced. In fact, they were incensed at this upstart rabbi from Nazareth, but not so Nicodemus.
His 2 feet.
You asked me before if I knew his name. Now everyone knows his name. And I fear for his safety.
I mean no trouble to him. No dishonor.
Your friends tried to have him arrested.
They're jealous. They're afraid. But I'm not. I promise. Mary, please. I need to talk to him.
I follow him, not the other way around. He doesn't tell anyone his plans.
We Will you ask him for a meeting in secret, under cover of night, at a place of his choosing? I don't care if it's a ravine or a cave or even a tomb, but I just need to speak to him. Please, Mary.
I will try.
Are you looking for God's hand? Are you looking for the activity of God in your life? We tend to find what we're looking for. Nicodemus has seen something that he simply cannot explain, and give him credit, he is looking, he is searching. And that's a good thing, because Jesus said, those who seek will find. And he often said, let him who has ears hear, because sometimes we can see this stuff or hear it and it just doesn't even impact us. But Nicodemus, on the other hand, he wants to know. So in John's gospel, it says this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night.
Welcome, Nicodemus. Don't be alarmed. He's waiting for you. I asked the owner of this house for more lanterns, but he said they would draw attention.
Yes, I imagine they would.
The human eye is drawn to light. We can't help it. It just happens.
There are many things we are drawn to without our thinking or our ability to explain why. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Thank you for trying to help Mary when you did.
No help.
You were meant to be there.
Me? So I could fail miserably at an exorcism in the Red Quarter?
If you had not been there that day, would you be on this roof tonight?
I don't know where to start. I have so many questions.
Shall we sit first?
Oh, yes. Slums. Many wandering preachers have succeeded in gathering crowds with their rhetoric and fiery tone.
I've heard a few of them over the years myself.
So you know the type. But I have never heard anyone tell a paralytic to get up and walk, much less it actually happened.
So what is your conclusion?
I believe you are not acting alone. No one can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life. How can these things be? Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind?
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes, and I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents. And they were dying.
But
God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. But I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way. That he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome? It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. When I met Lilith, Mary, that day, I told my wife and my students I said she was beyond human aid. Only God could have healed her. And then I saw her healed. And here you are. The healer.
Questions. Nicodemus has a lot of them. And that's kind of unusual for a Pharisee, his station, his age, because you tend to get to a place in life, not just Pharisees, where you kind of know, you think you have it all figured out. But he has lots of questions. Do you notice Jesus asked quite a few questions? You know, in the Gospels, 183 times Jesus is asked a question. 180 times he responds with a question. There's something to be said about digging in and seeking and looking. Nicodemus is looking. And as he does, Jesus says this startling thing. And by the way, this chapter, John chapter 3, is so rich. We could spend 10 weeks just going through John 3. There's so much here. But Jesus says this, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now immediately, you and I run into a problem when we hear that passage, because we have a preconceived idea of what it is, because we're born again Christians, right? We talk about being a born again Christian. Do you know this is the only time in the Gospels that Jesus ever uses this language, and Nicodemus is the only person he ever says it to? We hear born, you must be born again as you must be saved. Yes and no. Yeah, we must be saved. We must be born of the Spirit. But see, the problem with Nicodemus is what he knows is keeping him from the truth. His mind is filled with misconceptions about what the Messiah is, what God's intentions are to do through the coming Messiah. There are things that Nicodemus, if he's going to come to a knowledge of the truth, he's going to have to unlearn. It's like he's going to have to go back to square one. He's going to have to go back to the beginning. He's going to have to be born again. What misconceptions do you have? What false beliefs? That's a trick question, because you can't answer that question. Why? Because if you thought you had misconceptions or false beliefs, you would fix it, right? We don't see it in ourselves. Do you hunger and thirst for the truth? Even if the truth is not matching up with what you've believed all your life? Jesus said this, he said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now, Nicodemus' stumbling block was what, not what he didn't know, it was what he already knew. Let's go back to the conversation.
"Follow me, and you'll see more. Are you? Join me and my students. In 2 days' time, we leave Capernaum. Come see the kingdom I am bringing into this world."
"But I can't.
You have a position in the Sanhedrin. You have family. You are getting advanced in years."
"I understand. But the invitation is still open."
"To what exactly? To lead a nomadic life? To give up who I am?"
"It's true. There is a lot you would give up. But what you would gain is far greater and more lasting."
"Is this another one of your born-again mysteries?"
"Maybe. I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar. Think about it. Take your time.
On the morning of the fifth day, we leave, and we'll meet by the well in the southern quarter at dawn."
Is the kingdom of God really coming?
What does your heart tell you?"
"My heart is swollen with fear and wonder. It can tell me nothing except that I am standing on holy ground." "Holy roof and..."
Blessed are all
Jesus loved sinners. He associated with tax collectors and alcoholics and prostitutes. And it hurt his reputation with the in crowd. But you know what? Jesus also loved Pharisees, religious leaders. Yes, he reserved his hardest teaching and harshest words for the religious leaders of his day because you see, their misconceptions and their misunderstanding of the truth was keeping them from coming to him, was keeping them from coming and being healed. They were self-righteous, and that self-righteousness was keeping them from the thing they needed. So yeah, he would say very hard things to them, but don't mistake the love that Jesus had for them as well. In some respects, it's easier for a down-and-out person to give their life to Jesus because, after all, the only direction is up. But what if you're already established? What if you have everything the world says you should have? Oh, that's a little different story. To walk away from that, or to follow Jesus when you're up and in, that's costly. Yeah. Because the two things that keep us really from giving ourselves, two of the great enemies of the spiritual life, are comfort and security. When you get to my stage of life, my age, you know, you've worked hard, you've got a lot of things established, got a lot of comfort and security. What if Jesus calls you to walk away from that? It's bigger price to pay. But what we gain is far greater. What is keeping you from that thing that's far greater?
Do you remember at that final dinner when Eliel sang to Havilah? She was glowing, his voice the sweeter for the child in her womb.
Brought tears to my eyes.
And can you picture Moshe and Gideon? Their little chins resting on the table when you say the Yeshe Chayil. That's the way Shabbat was meant to be. Family, knit together around a table. My mother's gilded plates, your grandmother's candlesticks. May she rest in peace.
I don't miss her.
And if she could see you now, receiving the highest honor ever bestowed by our order, she would burst with pride.
I remember the inscription she had over the doorway of her room. Adonai El Roy. The Lord,
the God who sees me. The words of Hagar.
She always loved that Hagar was caught up in something complicated and fraught, but not of her choice. And yet, God saw her. And he knew that the path she was forced to take would not be an easy one.
When we stumble onto hard roads, he finds us and comforts us.
Or does he call us to them?
Persian myrrh and camphor to commemorate our last day in Capernaum.
One last day.
Nicodemus, I love our life.
As do I.
Take me back to it.
I changed my mind. I will prepare my remarks. I will need a moment.
Nicodemus' wife doesn't know the inner struggle that he's facing. He hasn't told her about that meeting at night with Jesus. And she doesn't know that she's actually placing before him a temptation. Continue with the life that I love, or follow Jesus. You know, sometimes the enemy of the best is the good. Sometimes family can be the very thing that keeps us from following the call of Jesus. Do you know there are some places in the world, some countries in the world today, where if you convert to Christ, your family will disown you. There are some countries where if you convert to Christ, they will have a funeral and they will bury you and you will be dead to them if you convert to Jesus. Now, in America, we don't face anything close to that, anything resembling that. But nonetheless, sometimes it's the good that keeps us from the best. Sometimes family can keep us from following fully. Jesus said it himself. In Luke's gospel, we read this, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. What if Jesus' call means leaving an aspect or all of the life that you love? Nicodemus had a really tough choice to make, and so do we.
This should be everyone. Everyone's here?
Yes, this is all of us.
Is there anyone else? Look at this. What is that?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Gold.
A friend of mine left that for us.
It's enough for 2 weeks of food and lodging.
So close.
What do you mean?
We need the gopher to make it to a camp in Tiberias by nightfall.
Simon is correct. Let's go.
You're gonna wear that? On a trip.
These are my clothes. Should I have others?
How does the story of Nicodemus end? We don't know. We're not told in Scripture. We know that at the end of Jesus' ministry, that when he died, that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the Jewish ruling council, went to Pilate and asked for the body so they might bury it in Joseph's tomb. They were called by John secret disciples. Did Nicodemus ever come out? Did he ever declare his allegiance for Jesus? We don't know. The Bible leaves us with a number of cliffhangers because the next move is yours. Truth is, the older we get, the more set in our ways we become, the more comfortable we become, the more sure of things we become. That's why those who convert to faith in Christ, the vast majority do so before the age of 25. What about those who are disciples of Jesus and the call of Jesus goes out? And you're at that comfortable place and station in life. Do you say yes? You know, I've seen people make heroic decisions. A friend of mine in his 50s left a very lucrative career to be a missionary in Haiti. Others have picked up and gone, and that's not God's call for everybody, but others have been called to something that was stretching them and outside of their comfort zone, and they said yes. Many say no, because they're just too comfortable. Comfort is the enemy of the way of discipleship, the ways of Jesus. But the redeeming thing is that Nicodemus was hungry. He was searching for more. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." We started this service singing that song, "I'll Follow You Anywhere." I like that song. It's kind of a catchy song, you know? It's really good. Have you ever considered lyrics? "I'll follow you anywhere, whatever, wherever you call me, whatever the cost. Wherever you lead me, whatever the cost." Like, oh. You ever, it's kind of like, you know, when your parent and your teenagers listen to that song, you say, "That's a pretty neat song. You like the beat and everything." And then you listen to lyrics like, "Whoa, what are you listening to that song for?" You ever been there? I've been there. Maybe it's just my kids. The lyrics of that song are hard, aren't they? "Wherever you lead me, whatever the cost." Whew. Really? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for those who might need to say yes to Jesus for the first time. And maybe you're more my age, Nicodemus' age. I want to pray for those who may be wrestling now with a call to obey Jesus in your life, that step calling you out of your comfort zone. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you continue to issue the call, "Follow me." Forgive us when our prior knowledge has muddied the waters. We need to be born again. Where we need to go back to square one and to ground zero, Lord, lead us there. Show us. Give us a hunger. Help us to ask questions again. Give us a hunger and thirst for you. I pray for those right now who maybe have never really fully said yes to Jesus. May their hearts be turned to you now. And I pray for those who are wrestling with the radical call of discipleship, or even if it's a small obedience, give them the courage right now to say yes, because, yeah, we give up some things, but what we gain is far greater. Thank you for this truth, and thank you for the call to be your disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus gave us this meal to celebrate. And in one sense, it's a reminder of that beatitude. You see, the sacrament of baptism is something we do once. This is something we do often, because we should always hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Jesus gave us this meal to continue to hunger for him. We remember that Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember that after the supper, he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And I'd like to invite you to stand. And you should have received one of these cups when you came in for communion. If you did not, we have folks back here by the sound booth that have them, and so that you can participate. This is how we're doing communion in these days. And the thing I like about this is how we all can participate simultaneously. So pull back the top layer, which is cellophane, and you're gonna find this wafer. This is the body of Christ. Let's remember and partake together.
Then you pull back the foil. This is the blood of Jesus shed for you. Let's drink together. Lord, thank you that your blood was shed, your body broken for us. No greater price has ever been paid. So yeah, you're worthy of us saying to you, we'll follow you anywhere. May you be honored in our worship, in our lives, in all that we do and say, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.